I'm going to start with a question today. Why are you here? Why are you here this morning? I beg your pardon?
I virtually live here.
You live here. There's always one, and he's obviously it. Why are you here this morning?
To worship God and to praise God and to celebrate
Sam. To worship God and to celebrate with Sam. Why are you here this morning? Because it's Sunday, that's a very good reason. I'm always in church on Sunday morning. I don't have to think about it. And I'm not even paid these days. Now, why else? What else? Who's here because we've got a good children's work and actually it's really nice to bring kids somewhere on a Sunday morning? Who's here because of that? No one. Does that say something about the youth work or what? Well, there are a whole variety of levels of answering that question, why are you here this morning? I'm here because it is Sunday and I'm always in church on a Sunday morning, not because it's my job anymore, but because I want to be there. And I'm here in this church this morning for a very specific reason. You know what it is. It's because the vicar has allowed the curate to choose the preacher. And I have to say, Steve, that when I was training curates myself, I never, ever allowed the curate to choose the preacher. So you're either very brave or very silly. Because one of the benefits of being a guest preacher is you can say whatever you like and then you clear off and leave the vicar and the curate and everybody else to pick up the pieces, right? But I'm here because I've been invited to preach and because I'm delighted to be sharing in the first time Sam has been president at Holy Communion. Joan and I are really pleased to be here, just delighted. I see other friends from Dagenham and people around, which is great. Well, what are we really here for? And I suppose that boils down really to two things. We're here, first of all, to pay attention to God. Whatever else we're doing for the rest of the week, we're here to pay attention to God, to worship Him in our songs and our prayers and our listening and our sharing in communion with our fellow Christians. We're here to pay attention to God. And we are also here, this is the second thing, to be equipped and encouraged and empowered for our mission in the week ahead, whether it's at home or at school or at work or wherever God has placed us. Because yes, every single person here in this church this morning has a mission. You might feel too old for the mission. I'm looking at no one. You might feel too old for the mission, but you're not. You might feel too young for the mission, but you're not. You might feel a bit weak or a bit ill, too weak or too ill for the mission, but you're not. Back in the church that we routinely worship in now in Folkestone, I've retired to the seaside, I can recommend it. So back in Folkestone, there are loads of people, or there seem to be lots of people, who think they are not intelligent enough for the mission. I have to tell you, in nearly 40 years of parish ministry, that's one I'd never heard before. But whoever you are, in church this morning, as a member of this church, the body of Christ, you have a mission. And actually, you've just heard what that mission is in the reading from Isaiah 61. So, your mission this morning, thank you, should you choose to accept it, I knew someone would know, but your mission this morning, should you choose to accept it, is to spread the good news of the Lord's favour to a world which is lost. It is to bring hope in the midst of ruins. It is our mission because it was and it is Jesus' mission. In the very early days of his ministry in Israel, Jesus went to the synagogue in his hometown of Nazareth and said he was the one to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He read from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the very reading we've had this morning. And then he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So, what's Isaiah 61 about then? Well, depending on when you think Isaiah was saying this, it is either a word of hope to the Jewish people in exile with their temple and their beliefs in tatters, or it is a prophecy of hope to the Jewish people who were soon to have their king defeated in battle and their world destroyed. Isaiah said there was hope amidst the ruins. The year of the Lord's favor was coming. In Jesus, it has come. And every single person here is part of it. Isaiah could see in the midst of catastrophe that God was going to appoint and anoint someone who was going to change everything around, who was in effect going to turn the world upside down. This person was going to bring good news even to the poor. He was going to bring healing to the brokenhearted. He was going to bring freedom and release to those in prison. He was going to comfort those who mourn. And interestingly enough, he was also going to plant. He was going to be a planter, if you like, planting what Isaiah calls oaks of righteousness to display the Lord's glory. Isaiah also saw, I don't know whether you noticed in the reading, that though this was all going to be focused in one person, there was going to be a whole people who were going to be called priests of the Lord and ministers of our God. Now, when I read these words and when I hear Jesus saying that he is the one, the deliverer foretold by Isaiah, I start to put two and two together. I'm reminded of Jesus breathing on his disciples so that they receive the Holy Spirit. I hear again Jesus sending out his disciples into the world. I remember the words of Peter in his first letter telling the church, us, that they are a kingdom of priests. And then I think, well, Isaiah 61 must be our mission too. Not that. Isaiah 61 must be our mission too. So are you up for it? You've heard what it is. You've read it. Are you up for it? It does come with a health warning. Because saying yes can do some rather funny things to you. 2004, I was a vicar in Dagenham in the Far East of London. The Beckentree estate was the biggest council housing estate in Great Britain when it was built. I think if you're probably under 30, you've no idea what a council house is, have you? Reasonable accommodation at an affordable rent. What a nice idea. Someone might bring it back soon. But the Beckentree housing estate was built for both for those who were bombed out in the Blitz in the East End of London and for those thousands of people who were employed in the Ford's plant in Dagenham. It was, back in 2004, it is different now, but back then, solidly white and working class. Nothing wrong with either of those two things, I hasten to add. And it was possibly not the place you might choose to visit on your very first trip out of Africa. He didn't know what was waiting for him, let me tell you. And so we welcomed into the vicarage and into this large council housing estate parish that young Care Force volunteer called Sam. And the rest, as they say, is history. But if you were to ask Sam what got him into Care Force in the first place, he might well direct you to Isaiah 61, right? And the mission to change the world. That's what we're about. Mission to change the world in Jesus' name and by the power of his Spirit. So, do you know anyone who could do with hearing some good news? Do you know anyone who is brokenhearted? Yeah, some of you might be sitting here. Do you know anyone who's in prison, either literally or metaphorically? Imprisoned, obviously locked up behind bars. I know one or two people like that. Or metaphorically imprisoned by their thoughts or their circumstances or their wrong choices. Do you know anyone like that? Of course you do. Of course you do. We all do. Friends, brothers and sisters, there is hope for the hopeless. There is liberty from bondage. There is grace for the sinner. There is joy in place of sorrow. And God has anointed us and equipped us as his people to bring that good news. So again I ask, are you up for it?
Yes.
Right, go, Steve, make a note. Okay. That's it. You know what the mission is? We're going to have a moment of quiet now and just respond in our own hearts. I will lead something and then Rachel will come and lead some prayers as well. And I want you to be thinking, what part have I got in this mission? Because you do have a part. You can't argue with that much. You do have a part. What's it going to be?